powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
All you can do is move forward, and that's what the Mariners have to do after a much-needed off day. Scott Servais mentioned that the other day. By the way, he said they needed it. The road trip was a tough one.
We needed an off day. There's no question about it. It was a rough trip for us physically, probably even more than mentally on this trip. But get the off day tomorrow, come back, and get back to playing like we play. Clean baseball, controlling the strike zone, doing the little things that allow you to close out games. And, you know, we're very capable of doing it. We've done it all year long.
Get back to playing like they play. And thankfully, they may, knock on wood, be able to get Gino Suarez. He's expected to return tonight and play DH. Lineup obviously isn't out yet, so we'll see if that's the case. Good news, though. We will be speaking with Scott Servais coming up here later in the show during the dugout. All Mariners from 1 to 2. So hopefully he can let us know an hour or two before the lineup comes out if we'll see Gino.
Yeah, let's address the elephant in the room.
Okay, well, no, because I think that
let's get it out of the way.
I think we can have a whole show without doing it.
I'm looking
frankly.
At Curtis Rogers. He has a nice teal hat on, teal shirt. Look
it's
at
great
myself.
Color.
It's a good color, especially on Tuesdays. And I'm looking at myself.
Bumpy, great hat.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. But Stacy has a Lake Tahoe sweater on. Is that purple?
It's, is that a purple? It's navy.
It's navy. I'm colorblind. Excuse me.
Teal.
It's not teal.
I,
the person who founded Teal
no,
Tuesday.
No.
It was you.
I
claimed it.
Forgot.
You might have came over. Yeah.
Sorry,
no,
what was that?
You claimed it.
I forgot that today is Teal Tuesday.
What day is today? What day is today, Stacy?
It's Teal Tuesday?
Yeah.
You know what?
Where's
my
the
son?
Teal?
You know what, son?
I forgot.
If it was, like I tell little Michael Bumpus, if it was important, I wouldn't have to remind you. I wouldn't have to.
It is
there
important. It is important to me. It is. I love Teal Tuesday.
Certainly
I don't celebrate it because I was outvoted by you and listeners. Teal Tuesday is a very important day in which we all wear teal and the Mariners never lose. And the bad road trip started when I didn't wear teal.
Yeah.
You got 10 games left to play and 9 days at home.
Yeah.
And you're
I can't
not wearing
go
teal
home.
Again.
I can't go home and get teal right now. What do you want me to do?
You just
it's
have to
not my fault
take
if the Mariners mess this up.
It definitely is. We need someone to blame. So it's going to be you. Hopefully they get it done.
Curtis,
today.
You were saying I would get a lot of hate messages. Joke's on you. I think people are very understanding. Everyone forgets everything.
206. Thanks, Stacy. If they lose, it's your fault. 415. Did I just travel back in time in a week? It's the only logical explanation because I know Stacy wouldn't forget 2 weeks in a row. 253. Stacy, seriously, again? 253. OMG, did Stacy forget again?
I'm
Isn't that
sorry.
2 weeks in a row?
I'm sorry.
Stacy, you're the reason for the losing road trip.
No,
what are you
I'm
doing
not.
To the final homestand?
I didn't control the strike zone.
It's 2 weeks in a row. She doesn't care and wants the M's to not make it to the
That's
playoffs.
That's not true.
They
sorry.
Are flying in.
Arrows.
So, you can't spell Lake Tahoe without teal.
No, that's too far of a stretch.
No, I like it.
206, go home, Stacy.
Stop. I will find a way to get teal today, okay? I will find a way. In fact, I'm going to text my roommate right now.
Nah, she don't wake up until like 11.
Hey, this is
she
wild.
She don't wake up until 11.
But would you be able to bring me a teal
Katie, if you are listening,
sweater.
Do not aid and abet Stacy's just
Katie.
Egregious
mistake. Isn't there like some kind of Amazon same day, 2 hour delivery thing where I can get teal during the show?
You know, you wouldn't have to worry about this if you just simply worn teal.
Well, I'm going to look during the break, okay? We're going to figure
it
out.
And the drone drop it off right in front of the station. Just...
The Mariners...
206 says that's an E1, by the way.
E1!
Oh, wow. First error of the day is on me, not even any Mariners players.
Man.
Okay, look.
I guess we
got to
do a show.
The Mariners...
It's cold.
Look,
it's cold
first of all, Teal Tuesday is very important to the Mariners' success. As we know, there is like a 98% win percentage when we wear teal on Tuesdays. Did I forget last week? Yes. Did we randomly, coincidentally, see the Mariners really struggle? Yes. Nothing to do with me forgetting to wear teal.
Not at all.
Will I find a way to get it today? Yes. I will find a way.
All right.
But more importantly, the Mariners need to find a way to get it done. 10 games left in 9 days. No more off days.
You're a true professional. Way to segue out of that. Let's
go. You're welcome.
Let's go.
So let's go. They may get Gino back today, but let's talk about what needs to happen in this one bump. What do we need to see?
We need to see the team that we're used to seeing, one of the best fielding teams in the major leagues. You want to see that bullpen do its thing. We saw Brash see four batters and didn't record an out, right? Not typical Brash at all. We need to see our starting pitcher. We got Robbie on the mound today, correct? You have Robbie? We got Robbie on the mound. We need to see him do his thing. Sounds like we're going to have Gino Suarez back at the DA spot, so hopefully that brings some good vibes. I wonder how that finger is doing. Mm-hmm. It's like what Service said in the open. We just need to see clean baseball. The baseball that we're used to seeing from these Mariners, and then let's get some power back. You know what I'm saying? It's been a while since we had some power. Yes, Cal comes out off the bench and produces some runs for us. I appreciate JK playing at the level that he's playing at right now. But let's get back to the team that we know and that we love against a team that they should beat.
Thank you.
Take care of business against the Rangers. Let's go.
Yeah, the Rangers are a team that has absolutely struggled. I'm trying to get their last record here. Who'd they just face, Bump? I know you looked this up. Let's see here.
Oh, the Rangers?
Yeah. Oh, Guardians. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. And they were swept by the Guardians, which is a team you may be playing on the road if you're a sixth seed. So we'll see what can happen there. What's so hard is I would have said about the Royals and the A's and, frankly, the Angels, this is a team you should beat. You're good enough to beat this team, even if you don't have Gino, which at the time you did. But maybe if Julio misses a day or two, now we know he's going to miss more than that. But this is a team you should beat. You're good enough to do it. And they just didn't. So it's like I don't want to put it out there and say it the same analysis and the same logic. But I'm sorry. This is a team the Mariners are better than. They are better than this team. And I'm going back to that thing of people being like, hey, you should just be grateful to get into the playoffs. Yeah, I'm grateful to get into the playoffs. But simultaneously, I don't want the Mariners to limp in, bruised up, not being able to swing, not being able to do anything. I want them to put up a fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I feel
you're there. I want them to punch their ticket and then do everything they can to advance. And they haven't punched the ticket yet.
You want them to play like they have something to play for and the Rangers don't, because that's exactly the situation.
Yes,
the Rangers
are
done.
Way to say it.
Like, what? They're just trying to get through the season. They're going through the motions right now. They are professionals, so you expect them to show up, but they're already thinking about their trip, you know, to Europe. They're already planning their vacations with their families. What are they going to do during this offseason? Who are they going to visit? What golf courses they're going to play at? You got something to play for, so let's just show up and act like it. Now, we got to understand they've been banged up. We get that. Injuries happen. That's part of sports. But you feel like even with those injuries, they should have taken care of the Royals, and they should take care of the Rangers.
I like the idea of them having something to play for. I do wonder if I'm eager to get Shannon on when we get to the dugout later today, beginning at 1, because it's finally time to start talking a little bit more about the mental weight, whether it's with motivation or whether it's a burden of the drought, and whether that's creeping up and popping up now. That's a lot of pressure.
It is popping up. It definitely is. Now, Service is not going to say it. Of course he's not going to say it. The players aren't going to say it. They're not going to acknowledge it. They understand the situation. But once you, as a player, mentally buy into that pressure, it does something to your body. Some guys thrive in that stuff. Like a Julio Rodriguez thrives in it. Gino thrives in that stuff. Other guys, you have to play this mental battle with yourself to make it seem like it's just another game. You go out in the public, you say, it's just another game. This ain't just another game, Stace. This is, what, 10 games left, you say?
10 games in 9 days.
9 days, final stretch. Do
all
something that's never been done. Well, haven't been done in 21 years.
Right.
For some people out there, it's never been done in their lifetime.
Exactly.
So there's some type of pressure, but they're not going to acknowledge it the way that we do.
Curtis, Have the text cooled down a little bit?
Not even a little bit.
Okay.
Hot fire.
We're seeing some flaming of Stacey on the text line. 253 says, I'd rather have Russell Wilson on the radio.
Okay, I don't believe you mean that for a second.
Stacey, Tuesday still comes after Monday and before Wednesday. 253, Curtis, can you mute mic one for the day? 360, Stacey not wearing teal makes me as upset as Bump would have been if the Cougs beat the Ducks and remained unranked.
No, absolutely not.
253, Stacey's blowing a 9-run lead all on her own.
Okay, fair.
509, the fall on the stairs had a bigger effect than we thought. Poor Stacy. And the 253 came with text receipts on a conversation they had with you
yesterday
on the Mac and Jack's text line. The 253 says, guys, make sure you remind Stacy that tomorrow is Teal Tuesday. I don't want her to look like a fool because she forgot last week. And then Stacy replies yesterday saying this. Oh, I won't forget.
Let me tell you guys something.
The jury has seen the evidence, Stacy.
I walk into the sports pit. Stacy has her hair straight. I'm like, oh,
Stacy. It took me a long time.
I love your hair. I like what you're doing. In my head, I go, I don't see any Teal. There's no way she's putting a hat on that hair. She just straightened out. So where's the sweater?
So
like, she's
got to
be joking. And no jokes. Real life.
The thing is, you hit me with the compliment first, and I was like, oh, wow, what a lovely way to start
my day.
That's
how you do it. You got to hit with the compliment first.
Yeah.
And then you cut him off at the knees.
Someone, she said on the radio, she had set a reminder. I was going to set a reminder.
Are you telling me you have lied?
No,
to the people.
I wrote Teal Tuesday in my planner. I wrote Teal Tuesday on my little notepad for the day, and I was going to set a reminder on my phone. And then I went home and made lunch. And
are you telling me that you went on sports radio and said something that wasn't truthful?
No, no. I would absolutely never do that.
When has that ever happened? That's never happened.
I would never do that ever in a million years.
Oh, man. 360 punishment. Stacy gets a Teal tattoo.
Absolutely not.
Be able to forget about it.
No. I will find a way to get Teal. Okay, during the break, which we're going to get to.
Yeah, I love the 253 coming in with text receipts.
I know.
Too.
Okay. That's fine. We're moving on to headline. We're moving on. Headline rewrites. We're moving on.
Headline rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
It was so good. Always have text receipts.
I opened up the headline rewrite on my show sheet. Curtis had copied and pasted my response this person.
Oh, I won't forget, Stacy. I do like that the person responded by, if you have an iPhone, you can either like the comment.
Yeah.
They laughed at it.
Yeah.
Knowing that, it was going to happen.
That I was going to mess up. Yep.
Headline number one. Jerry DePoto yesterday during Luis Castillo's extension press conference said that Eugenio Suarez is expected to return to the lineup tonight and play DH, and Julio Rodriguez is on track to return October 3rd when his IL stint runs out. What's the real headline?
See, the Teal thing doesn't even matter.
Yeah. Keep telling yourself that.
Gino is coming back. You're going to get some power back in this lineup. Clutch hitting back in this lineup, and then you're going to have Julio coming back later, feeling good, feeling great, ready for the playoffs because the Mariners are going to clinch this week.
Sounds good. For your sake, I hope Gino comes back and does his thing and provides that emotional boost that this team needs. And it should be a fun night, man. I'm just wondering how that finger is going to be affected, right? Affect his whole approach at the plate. Will it be the same? Is he thinking about it? But nonetheless, his presence alone does something to a team.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see him back out there, see how it goes down.
Headline rewrites.
Keep the text coming, people. This is
a field day. The entire text line is just planner smanner, Stacy.
There's some people giving you excuses to use for your Lake Tahoe shirt, saying like, the waters of Lake Tahoe.
Can I just say, by the way,
color.
Okay, so this sweatshirt is from this website. It's called like Princess Polly or something, and they have all these like graphic sweatshirts, like oversized graphic sweatshirts. And I'm obsessed with them, but that doesn't mean I've been to any of these places. And I went to Starbucks, and I'm in line, and I'm wearing this same sweater. This was like last weekend or something. And this guy goes, oh, Lake Tahoe, I haven't been there. How is it? And I said, without thinking, it's beautiful. I didn't know what to say.
You've been there on Instagram.
I know. What was I going to say? Oh, I've never been there. He'd be like, why do you have that shirt? And I'd be like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to this question. So I just lied. I straight up lied. It's absolutely gorgeous.
So I'm
There's a history of you lying to the people.
Wow.
I see.
Only in this case.
The truth has come out. I've been there a couple of times. It is beautiful.
You just went there this year, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Went there this summer. Can confirm that, Stacey.
See?
It is beautiful.
Thank you.
Headline number two. In addition to running back DeAndre Swift likely missing Sunday's game against the Seahawks, Lions star receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown's ankle injury may also keep him out, too. What's the real headline?
Seahawks are running out of reasons to not win this one. I know the defense has lots of improvements to make, and I know that the offense has a new quarterback under center who was previously a backup, has two rookie tackles. There are a lot of reasons that the Seahawks will struggle, but the reasons that they can't take advantage of a weakened Browns offense are dwindling.
Yeah, with these, with Swift in there,
they're two best offensive players.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. These guys are one of the best scoring offenses in the NFL, but they also give up a lot of points. So let's take advantage of the situation, Seahawks. Come on, let's get it.
Yeah, I also think it's really advantageous for Seattle that the pun not intended, hits are coming on the offensive side of the ball for the Lions, because the Lions have given teams headaches. Like, they have not been an easy beat, even
Number
though...
Number three in the league when it comes to the run.
Exactly. So, you had Swift with 144 yards last week against the Lions, now out. Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's been absolutely phenomenal. Congratulations to anyone who picked him up in fantasy, not expecting this. To not have those guys, and he'll be back. They're going to basically rest him. I don't think he needs an IR stint, but they're going to take it easy with him because he's so important for that offense. If there ever was a time for the defense to try to sharpen up against the run, try to tighten up in coverage, get a little stickier in coverage, they've actually been pretty okay. But
yeah, they've been
this,
all right.
This would be it.
Yeah, that's every week, though. Like, I don't even want to say, oh, you're playing the Detroit Lions, Swift is out, Amon-Ra St. Brown is
Jared
out.
Jared Goff, not especially mobile.
This is the week you do it. It's every week we're looking for progress. I don't care who you're playing. You could be playing the Bills, right? You still want to work on some things. It is better that you are playing the Detroit Lions in their situation.
Yeah.
But if we put that out there, I don't know what's going to happen, man. So I'm just going to say, line them up, knock them down. No matter who it is, get better, work on your stuff. But yes, there is an opportunity this week.
Considering that Bump's rule is that every team from Detroit is the Lions, no matter who they are, I like that they're actually playing the Lions this week.
Actually playing the Lions.
It's easier to remember that.
Mariners finished the season
with
the Lions.
And the Mariners are finishing the season with the Lions, which is pretty cool.
Headline rewrite.
This says Stacey's punishment is that if the Mariners lose tonight, she has to bring in 24 donuts tomorrow.
We already got donuts coming, don't we?
I know. Yeah, because I lost a bet.
Really good text here from the 850 before we get to headline number three. 850 is a Florida area code, by the way. And they say, I'm working here in West Florida. Hurricane Ian impending. And all I can think is, what if Stacey had done what she promised and worn the teal? Stay safe
That's
out there,
850. Yeah, do stay safe, though, man.
Headline number three, the Cowboys won their second straight game without Dak Prescott, beating the previously undefeated Giants on Monday Night Football. What's the real headline?
Are we on Dak is washed watch? Yes, we are.
Heck no.
More like Cooper rushing Dak out of a job. Ooh. Am I right, Bump?
Bars.
Am I right?
Bars.
I thought about that one in the sports bit. I almost told you, but then I was like, I'm going to spring it
good
on.
Good job.
This is
appreciate
bad. It's
that.
A bad one.
Rush did okay, though. 21 of 31, 215, one touchdown. Jerry Jones says, of course, he's going to gas his boy up. Cooper Rush
Jerry
has
Jones
the making
drama.
Of a top quarterback.
Absolutely not. He doesn't believe that.
What helped him out was, if you listen to Michael Irvin on First Take,
the finger licking
good defensive rush. What am I trying
pass
to say?
Rush, pass rush.
Thank you. And the run game, man, they rushed for 176 yards. Pollard had 13 for 105. Elliott had 15 for 73 and a touchdown. This was a team win. CeeDee Lamb showed up after a drop, made a nice one-hand catch in the end zone. Team win, man. But I chill out on the rush.
The Cowboys have sacks per game in 2022, averaging 4.3. If anyone's wondering, Seattle's just at 2 even. Helped last week, but 4.3 sacks per game.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Get after the quarterback. Put pressure on that guy. Dallas has been doing it. Finger-licking good pass rush.
Finger-licking good
pass rush. Don't look that
up
if you haven't seen it.
It's a great clip. It really is. Okay, let's see. So, enough people telling me. Guys, everyone needs to calm down. I will find a way to get teal today. I promise.
Promise, huh?
I promise. I really do promise. I will find a way to get teal. I'm going to work on it the second we hit break. Before we come back and talk about the Seahawks, I will find a way to get it done. Curtis is on the mound tonight for the Mariners, by the way. Do you know offhand? I'm springing it on you. Robbie?
Is it Robbie?
Yeah.
I got ejected the other day.
Yeah, yeah. Coming with that fire. One thing we didn't talk about, you know, we talked a lot about the lineup being able to bring some offense without Gino. If Gino gets back, that's great. What if he's not at 100%? You said even having his presence is great. He's just such a huge part of this team's chemistry and culture and vibes.
Good vibes.
We didn't really talk about the rotation at all. I think it's because neither of us are worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you could be simultaneously not worried about something, still kind of need to see something good.
Yeah, I mean, Logan didn't have the greatest outing his last time out, if I'm remembering correctly. But that's the thing. This rotation and this bullpen can struggle a little bit, and I still feel like they're going to be okay. Now, offensive production, on the other hand, I'm like, nah, we got to see something. Fielding, I'm like, okay, let's bounce back a little bit. Lefko wearing a Till shirt, just pointing that out as he walks by.
Michael.
You know it's real when she calls me Michael. I mean, Michael. But yeah, I think the rotation will be fine. The bullpen will be fine, even though they struggled a bit. Robbie's going to set the tone tonight. Good vibes.
All right. So here is what we're going to do. We're going to get to kind of some back-to-back conversations about the Seahawks here. We're going to start Seahawks. Then we're going to get some fun NFL power rankings. So heads up, football fans, we got you covered for a little bit here. Then we're going to have on at 11 a New York Times baseball columnist named Tyler Kepner, who has this really, really cool new feature about the making of the Seattle Mariners as it stands right now, how they got here, what happened, the special pieces. And as they're on the verge, knock on wood, of getting to the playoffs for the first time in 21 years and 20 seasons. What a perfect time to talk about how they did it. And then as a reminder, it is Tuesday. It's still Tuesday, which means it's the dugout. So starting at 1, Scott Service going to join us for the Scott Service Show. And then it is all Mariners from 1 to 2. Lots of good stuff coming your way. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
I sent out an emergency text to Katie, my very best friend and roommate, to say, I need you to, we live in Green Lake, it's not far. And I said, I need you to bring me a teal sweater. And she said, is this a joke? I need to send her support from the Mac and Jack's text line and people being like, Katie, do it.
Look at all this hate I'm getting.
Katie, you need to do it. It's important. We're going to talk about the Mariners, though. Enough about Teal Tuesday, because I'm getting flamed here. So we're going to move on. Bob Condotta has an interesting tweet. Friend of the show, writer for the Seattle Times, who covers the Seahawks. He said, in their first year without Russell Wilson, the Seahawks are 31st in rushing attempts with almost twice as many passing attempts, 103, as runs, just 56. My question, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Should the Seahawks be running the ball more or should they stick with what's working? Backtrack. Why do you think we're seeing this split the way it is, Bump?
We're seeing the split because Geno started off the season 13 of 13. Goes into halftime 17 of 18, finishes the game 23 of 28 and threw for, 82% completion rate. Meanwhile, they averaged 4 yards per run. I think Shane Waldron went to Pete and said, look, this guy has a grasp on this offense. There are high percentage throws. He's moving the ball down the field. He is taking care of it. Second game, he goes 24 of 30. That's 80%. Third game, he goes 32 of 44. That's 72%. Overall, he's around 80% passing. So I think that you go into each game and you're like, this is what we want to do. This is how we want to attack this defense. And then as the second series goes, the third series goes, you have to adapt. You have to go with what's working for you. And we saw in this last game, they came out running the football.
They did.
Rashad Penny had, I want to say, like 5 carries in that very first series, at least. Big run of 26 yards. You're like, all right. And then Geno gets going again, and the run starts being shut down, and you have to adapt. You're looking at the defense. They're saying, okay, they're giving us that too high shell, two high safeties. Atlanta did that most of the game. But they saw the underneath stuff was open. So they're like, okay, we're going to work this a bit more. I think that now, should they change what they're doing? I think they should watch film, which I know they did, and take what this Lions defense is going to give them. If they look at this defense and say, you know what, let's start off with the run. Let's get them to pay attention to the ground game, and then we'll open it up, then do that. If they look at this defense and say, all right, man, there's some passes over the top or underneath, then you do that. I think they're in a position to where they can do both offensively. So take what the defense is giving you. But it's interesting that this whole offseason, we hear them talk about, we got to get back to our roots, back to running the football. And I think that was their mentality because they're thinking, we don't know what we're going to get out of Geno Smith. This guy hasn't been a day one starter since, what, 8 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So to protect him, that's your mentality, run the football. But then Geno says, hey, don't protect me, bruh. I can handle this. I can sling it all across the yard.
Do you think they were just genuinely surprised that they're able to do this so early with Geno in the offense? Because it's not just like, oh, they're new together. He hasn't had this many regular snaps as a starter in a while. But like you said, you hadn't seen Geno as a starter since he was much younger. And he's played behind different quarterbacks since then and different offenses since then. You can't fundamentally change as a quarterback, but you could tweak a lot of things over time.
I think they knew that Geno would at least attempt to do the right thing. I don't think they guaranteed it. I don't think Shane and Pete sat down and said, Geno's going to be able to throw 80% this very first game. I think they gave him opportunities, and with that first half, he exceeded their expectations. Mm-hmm. I think they knew he would take care of the football and that he would go to the line of scrimmage, make the right checks, attempt to do the right thing. But for them to go out and foresee that he's going to be completing 77% of his passes after week three, I don't think anyone saw that. So you must adapt. But it's a beautiful thing now because now you got the option. Now teams have to prepare for Geno throwing the football. Going into that first week, I don't think they're preparing for that. They're like, look, they're going to have to run the football. We'll see what Geno does. I want to imagine this Russell Wilson just talking so much crap about Geno to his squad. Like, man, you know, Geno ain't going to do nothing. I wonder what voice he was saying it in, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, or was it the
one of five choices.
Yeah, one of five Russell Wilson voices. But that's what I imagine. And I think we're just seeing Geno perform at a high level. So that's dictating what they're doing offensively.
Question. Might they change it based on the Lions, some rushing stats? Now, this is overall rushing yards, not rushing yards per game. Seahawks are the third worst against the run, though technically they're tied for the second worst. So let's say they're tied for 31st against the run with the Bears allowing 471 total yards. The Texans have allowed 607 rushing yards through three games. Yikes. But right here, the Lions, they are number 28, allowing 427, not significantly better than the Seahawks. Is this a game we might see more of Penny, might see more of Ken Walker?
The stats tell you that. And Ken Walker's run on his jet sweep makes you think that this team is going to do more to get him the football. Rashad Penny only touching the ball 14 times last game, I think, makes you believe that he's going to get the football more. I think going into this game, there's stats and then there's film. Right, stats will tell you, okay, this is what you should do against this defense. You should run the football. They're giving up, what, 142 a game.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way we should attack them. But then you can look at the film and say, all right, man, but there's stuff open underneath. You know, so, again, that's the beauty of the Hawks right now. I know they're 1-2. I know the defense isn't playing as well as we hope they will play at this point. But they can do both. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. So I would expect them to come out initially hand the ball off to Rashad just like they did last time and try to open this thing up. To me personally, that's the approach I like because Geno is more of an underneath type guy.
Yeah.
When you run the football, those backers start to bite a bit more on the run, the play fakes. Now you're able to get the tight ends open in the play action and all that stuff. That's how I would set it up. That's how I think they're going to set it up. But I need like two or three more footballs down the field to DK.
I hear you. I was just going to say, really my biggest critique of the offense so far, yes, second half scoring has been a problem. But my real biggest critique would be not utilizing DK nearly as much as I think they should. But overall, they ironically kind of have right now the offense that Pete Carroll would want. He would tell you, I want to be able to beat you on the ground. I want to be able to beat you through the air. And we're going to do whatever we need to do week by week. We aren't going to necessarily just be like, hey, we have to have exactly this split of passes and runs. He's always said, like, I want to be balanced. Balanced, and he's kind of pushed back against the run first narrative, even though, like, I think you have an idea just based on the players that he loves from around the league and the offenses that he's probably like seemed to covet most. You have an idea that, like, it is more of like a run heavy offense. That being said, it's ironic that in the first year without Russell Wilson, when so many questions were facing this offense, I mean, if they can run against Detroit and really put up some good numbers, they're kind of starting the year exactly the way Pete Carroll would have wanted in his ideal offense.
And Pete says balance, right? Balance doesn't mean, okay, 50% run, 50% pass. Balance is taking what the defense is giving you and allowing the run to open everything else up. And the difference between throwing the football out with Geno and doing it with Russell is that Russell's going to throw the ball 40 yards down the field five or six times and a half alone. Like, he's going to forget the underneath route that's wide open. I'm going for the home run. That's just how he's built, how he's made up, to where Geno is like that cautious driver on the 405. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's in that middle lane. He probably should be on that slow lane all the way to the right, but mm-hmm. he's in the middle. He's nice and steady. He's going 60. He's not tripping when you tailgate him. You're on his butt. He goes, you go ahead and do your thing. I'm just going to stay nice and steady. That's what Geno is right now. And I think that's what Pete Carroll's always wanted. We've seen the tight ends get involved more than we've ever seen it in the last three, four seasons. So, yeah, I think the Hawks are in a good place offensively. It's all about that defense catching up now.
All right, so we're going to do some NFL power rankings from all around the league now that we are 3 weeks in. Lots of good ball being played and some bad football as well. But I don't want you guys to go like 1 through 32, right? That's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time to really figure that stuff out the way you want. So instead, what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do this as well, is think, all right, which one or two teams are best of the best, which one or two teams are worst of the worst, and which one or two teams are you still trying to figure out? All right, that's coming your way next. Why does Stacy hate the Mariners? It's the top text in on the Mac and Jack's text line right now. You guys, I'm on it. I am on it. I have texted Katie. I have asked her to bring me a teal sweatshirt. She says she's on it. She just needs to get out of a meeting. Personally, I think she should quit her job and leave the meeting for the Mariners, for the playoffs.
Yeah, Stacy was on her phone. She didn't say one word during the break.
No, I didn't.
She's locked in. She's trying to figure this out. I give her
you hear the little clicks from
completely ignoring the both of you coordinating. Like, Katie, I need this. You need to bring it to me. Leave your job and bring it. No, she works from home. So we have NFL power rankings to get to. I do not want to do 1 through 32, okay? That's a lot of time. And when we get to like, I know that you have it ready. I know you're willing to do it, so I'll let you do a little more here. But like,
no, I'm not ready for 1 through 32.
Okay. Because I was going to say, once we get to like, all right, the difference between 21, 22, 23, all these teams are kind of the same. Mm-hmm. So I want to create bigger gaps when we're talking about it. Join this conversation anytime, 866-979-3776. Don't mention teal. So we're going to do the best of the best. Teams we are sure about. These are playoff teams.
Yeah.
These are teams we are tuning in to watch their games, and we're talking about how they've gotten to where they are, how they're so good, they're fun to watch, whatever it is. Then teams are the worst of the worst.
Okay.
What went wrong for them? What's not going right? And then we've got a category of teams we're still trying to figure out.
All right. With that.
So let's start with some best of the best. I can already think of the number one team that might be on your
around.
List.
Miami.
You have Miami as the best of the
papi,
best.
We go to Miami.
Your number one team.
Number one team. They just beat the Bills.
They got lucky and beat the Bills. The Bills possessed the ball for 40 minutes.
Good for them. They
twice
didn't win
as
that
much
game.
Yardage.
Ken Dorsey throwing fits upstairs.
No.
I'm riding with the Dolphins this week. You know what I'm saying? As of now, I think they are the best team in the NFL. Long run, I'm going to take the Bills over them. Long run, I'll probably take the Chiefs over them. But right now, as it stands today, they are the best. We're talking power rankings, not like, okay, who's going to win the whole thing rankings. So power rankings, Miami. You been to Miami? It's
no.
A beautiful place. Interesting place.
I've heard Miami really, really fun, but also like at certain times of the year, if you walk outside, you'll just be drenched in sweat automatically.
Yeah, take the trash out, you're sweating.
Well, that's if you're not from the Southeast. Like, if you're from the Pacific Northwest or even from the West Coast, like, that's a different kind of heat.
Different heat. That heat be hugging
you. That's what I'm saying. It's not even like Arizona where you're like, ooh, it's hot. Let's get a smoothie. It's a heat that just kills you.
Who's
I'm
your squad?
Saying the Bills number one.
You're still
I don't know what you're talking
Bills.
About. Man, the
sticking
stats for the Bills. Bills against Miami make no sense whatsoever. The Bills win that game if they play
win,
it
though.
10 times. They win 8 times.
But they didn't.
I know you got to win. But am I going to say that San Francisco is a better squad than Chicago because they beat the Bears?
Hey, Josh Allen had a chance to win the game. The receiver did not get out of bounds. It comes down to execution late in the game. And late in the game, you get a butt punt. You couldn't take advantage of it.
They got a safety off of it.
They got a safety off.
Look, Miami, a squad I'm very excited about. I think they win. I think they're a wild card. I think, unfortunately, sharing a division with the Bills, I think the Bills take the AFC East.
The Bills are going to win.
The Bills are going to win the AFC East. But you think that Miami, overall, right now
Let's
in this moment,
about
is the power
the
squad.
The weapons that Miami has.
Go for
you
it.
You got Waddle
Obviously,
over
yes,
there.
Yes, correct.
You got Hill. Probably
correct.
Top three receiver in the league. Statistically, they have the top two receivers, top two of the top five receivers in the league right now.
Yeah.
All right, Tua, statistically, he's a top five quarterback in the league right now. This is power rankings. This is not what do we see in the future rankings. We're talking about right now.
We're going with Bills right now. We're going Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen.
Diggs is fired, but guess what? Who's out on defense? I got... Boyer's gone.
Josh Allen has like twice as much yards as the next closest player right now because they had almost 500 yards of total offense.
They should have beat the Dolphins when they had the chance to.
I understand what Ken Dorsey did.
He threw for 400. It's not enough. Throw for 450. So you got the Bills though.
What's your number? Bills are my number one. What's your number two?
Number two, I'll go Bills.
Okay, then what's your maybe what would be your number three?
Number three, I would have to go. I'm still riding with the Chiefs. I still believe in Pat Mahomes and those guys.
So even after. A loss against who the Titans? No, Indianapolis.
Yeah, lost to Indy.
One of the worst teams in the AFC right now.
Things happen. That's why they're not number one. If both those teams would have won, it would have been 1-2, one of those two, and then Dolphins would have been 3.
I think I've got the probably the same top three in reverse order for those two. I'm going to be the very boring Bills number one, Chiefs number two, and then I'm going to have Miami right now at number three. You can't take – I do agree with you in this sense. Two of the best offensive weapons in all of football.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the few examples of a single wide receiver dramatically changing the course
game.
I just give the advantage at quarterback and certainly defense for Buffalo over Miami right now.
Yep.
That being said, you can't take a 3-0 team and not have them top three.
Defense should have held them to 50 less yards, though.
I know. Okay, let's go to the bottom before we go to the things that we have yet to sort out. So worst of the worst, I have my number one worst of the worst, and I'm not being a homer with this one.
And you're not being a homer.
No, I am not.
Hey, I'm going to go with, to me, it's between
Chicago.
It hurts to say it.
And
Chicago's 2-1. We're talking power rankings. I think you're looking at them as what you think they're going to be.
No.
It's right now. Because right now the Raiders are 0-3.
The Raiders are the best 0-3
team. Are 0-2, but they're still 0-3. Texans are 0-2-1.
Chicago is 32nd, 31st, 30th, maybe 29th in almost every single defensive and offensive category.
Yeah.
They are lucky that they should be winless or like 1-2.
That's where stats mess you up because sometimes you got to be like, they just grinded it out. They won in a monsoon.
No, they benefited from Trey Lance making a few more mistakes. They benefited from San Francisco committing 12 penalties.
Yeah, of course they did. That's the game of football.
Oh, no, man. I can't.
I love it. Let the Bears have this moment because they're going to be garbities in a couple weeks.
There's no way you have the Raiders as the worst team right now. On your
The Raiders, talent-wise, they are a very good football team.
Okay, execution-wise.
But execution, you got to win ball games. I can't give you the benefit of the doubt when you're 0-3. 0-3, oh, it's fine. They're 0-3, they'll figure it out. Yeah, they probably will win some ball games.
Yeah.
But as of right now, the Eagles are a better team than the Raiders.
It's so weird. The Raiders defensively are kind of middle of the road. Offensively, I think they're, a top five passing offense right now. It's just been so...
It's weird.
It's really weird. They are the best 0-3 team. They might be the only 0-3 team right now. One listener letting me know they're the only 0-3 team.
There
it's hard not to look at them and say, yeah, you got some issues. But, okay, so we're in on... I think I have Chicago as my worst. Okay. You're saying Chicago, I mean,
Chicago's hovering.
Yeah.
They're chilling.
Question, obviously, given that we're here in Seattle.
Right.
Oh, we'll both throw the Texans in there as well. Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
Would Seattle belong in the worst of the worst?
They're close, man.
I don't think they're in it.
I think Geno is the reason why they're not in it.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Geno in that fifth tier of Mike Sando's quarterback rankings where he had to create a whole new tier. Okay, we only have 30 seconds, so I'm going to let you have the final word on this one. You can do two teams, but given the time, one is cool if one comes to mind.
Okay.
A team you're still trying to figure out.
A team that I'm still trying to figure out.
Are they great? Are they awful? Are they going to make a deep push in the playoffs? I could also see them potentially not making it.
I'm looking at the Rams right now. The Rams and the Vikings. The Rams and the Vikings are two teams where I'm like, what's going to happen here? And I think you can throw...
Denver.
Yeah. No, I think Denver. I think Denver's going to collapse. I think that division is too hard. I think they're going to lose a bunch of games.
Oh, that defense is so good, though.
Defense
looked
great. They won the game for them.
Great. Yes, they did. One single drive from Russell Wilson.
Who's yours?
Denver. It would be Denver, a team I'm still... I could equally see them missing the playoffs entirely and collapsing as I could see them making it as, I think, a wild card and then winning and advancing to the divisional round.
Yeah, I like the Bengals, too.
Yeah. Jags are a good one from one listener. Yes, the Jags for sure. Okay. So coming up next, we're going to bring on a New York Times baseball columnist, Tyler Kepner. He has this really fascinating piece looking at how the Mariners got to where they are. We're going to talk about it next.